Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, before we get into anything here, we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We take you now live to Champaign, Illinois. The athletic director at Illinois is Mike Thomas.
The football coach, but the head coaches of all of our 20 other sports as well.
Mike, does this involve more than one incident, more than just the Simon incident that seems to be the start of it?
You know, Lauren, as I said, it really, what you see in the press release is how much I'll elaborate on the findings. And as you know, it's not a complete report yet. It's still an ongoing process.
Mike, you defended your culture all along. Can you defend your culture today?
I still can, yes. I think that the culture in our Division of Intercollegiate Athletics is tremendous. I believe in our coaches and our staff and our student athletes. I think they come to work every day and participate every day wearing integrity on their sleeve, and it's all about doing things the right way.
If not that's credit, though?
I was going to say, if that's the case, then how did all this happen?
Well, I think in any situation, we have 525 student athletes, David. We have 21 sports. We have 300 full-time staff. And I, it's about making sure that we are going about doing things the right way, believing in things the right way. And when we find out that there's improvements that need to be made or changes that need to be made, we'll address those in the appropriate fashion.
Is anyone else losing their job? Anyone else?
At this point in time, there's not any plans to making staff changes.
You have the staff who was here when these things apparently happened, so why do you have confidence in them? Is it just on Tim Beckman?
At this point in time, Jeremy, none of the other coaches have been implicated in the review.
Are there any actions you need to take, Mike, with the former athletes or any current athletes to address the wrongs that have been committed, particularly any medical issues?
Well, at this point in time, I'm not, there's a final report and we have more information, then those are the things that we certainly can look into and address if necessary.
Is this one of the hardest situations you've had to deal with in your career at all?
Matt, I think that's fair to say, and it's not typical. This is a wonderful place. We have wonderful people. We have wonderful fans, and certainly we are all about doing things the right way, and we'll continue to move in that direction.
Will Bill Cubitt be considered for a full-time job?
If Bill Cubitt's interested, he'll be considered for the full-time job. I will tell you that moving forward as it relates to a future search process, I mean, my focus is on today and playing a football game next Friday, but I'm not going to be in a situation where I'm addressing potential candidates, and I know that there'll be a lot of talk out there, and from my past searches, I know that a lot more of it's fiction than fact, but we will address the search at the appropriate time.
Is it your search to conduct at this point?
It is, yes.
And that's after talking to the interim chancellor?
Yes, that would be my search to conduct.
Mike, we've asked you this before, but do you feel threatened with your job security, with the coach you hire that, you have to dismiss because of these things?
No, I'm confident in the program that I'm leading. I know that when you're trying to build a program, Jeremy, that, especially in a big vision way, that you're going to have obstacles and adversity along the way. And certainly appreciative of the people that we have working over the DIA, our coaches, our staff, our student athletes, and the hard work and effort they put into making the special place that it is.
That is Illinois Athletic Director Mike Thomas addressing the media live from Champaign. The press conference does continue, but the basics are out there that Tim Beckman was fired. no other coach implicated in this. Thus, they stay on as a staff. Bill Cubitt is the offensive coordinator, who becomes the interim head coach, who will coach the entire season. And if Bill Cubitt is interested in the job at the end of this, he will be allowed to apply for and interview for the job. The search for a new head football coach will be Mike Thomas's and Mike Thomas's alone, and will not be done by committee, based on what he said today. The Illinois situation, though, goes beyond just football and Tim Beckman. There are also allegations in the women's basketball program. There's also a situation in the faculty at large which caused the resignation of the chancellor, and the new one started on August 6th. So Illinois has its fair share of problems right now. Tim Beckman, though, at the tip of the iceberg, getting fired today as the head coach at Illinois for allegations as to how he treated players, how he treated players who were hurt, and how he treated the medical staff over players that were hurt. He was fired today after just 3 years on the job. So that is the story. The press conference does continue, but I think we gave you the taste of that press conference as to what is going on in Champaign right now. Mike Thomas is the guy that hired Tim Beckman. A lot of people were surprised when he hired Tim Beckman, but and it was pointed out in question. Basically, hey, look, you know, this was your baby. And you're the one that did this. So what do we have here? And he said, no, he said he's going to be the one that's going to conduct it. And I think the fact that there's a new chancellor there opens the door for him to conduct this, because right now Illinois at large is not, at the moment, a smooth sailing ship. And that is a big issue there. It's hard for the chancellor to get involved in something like this, because the chancellor has his own issues to deal with a faculty member right now, something that happened over the summer. And the women's basketball program is not a smooth ship. There have been allegations there. And now, of course, the one that we've talked about, May we talked about it, and July we talked about it.
Steve, you have to wonder, you have to ask, though, this is an investigation, correct me if I'm wrong, this is an internal investigation that they're being held by an independent?
It was external.
Okay, it is external by an independent group.
Yeah, it was a law firm that conducted, okay. They asked to conduct it.
All right,
yeah.
Now, that was question number one. But question number two is, where is the NCAA here? Isn't this an NCAA investigation? Doesn't this have the potential to be investigated by the NCAA? And if so, where are they?
Well, yes, it does. At the same time, the quick action taken by Illinois here, where they conducted it themselves, the NCAA is not going to get too... I don't think they're going to get too involved in this, because the school took care of it itself.
So you're thinking that the NCAA's view on this, and this is just, I'm paraphrasing here for your thoughts, that because they went and have handled it, they're going to step aside a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, because I think they went out there and said, okay, they didn't just sit back and just let it fester and like, okay, we'll see. They went out, and you can tell by this, from the outside looking in, they were fairly aggressive going after. They didn't just take Simon Cianovich and what he put out on Twitter in May and just go, please, come on, no, just blow it off. They didn't blow it off. When Kerry Knight talked to them, they didn't blow it off. They got pretty serious about this in looking into it. And when you fire the coach, Kevin, 1 week before the opening game, well, I'm the NCAA. Yeah. First of all, if I'm the NCAA and I'm sitting there right now and I say to myself, okay, what do we do here? Do we pile on? I mean, what rule was broken here? That the athletic department. Now, my issue is this with the rest of the coaches, and I realize there is one head coach. I got that. I got that part. But you're telling me the rest of the staff wasn't witness to it? Is that what you're telling me? They're out in the practice field. Now, obviously, the external investigation evidently implicated Beckman and Beckman only.
Well, that's what today's firing would lead you to believe, right? That's what I was just going to say.
Right. Well, no, he just said that, but he just said that. We just had that at his press conference on the air.
But I mean, before that, when he went fired, that's what you'd lead to believe right away.
Right, but you know, but I would ask the question right away about what about the rest of the staff? Weren't they around to see this? Now I realize that you're talking about the head coach. You work for him. You don't, you know, even though you idealistically work with him, you still work for him. So is there a culture put in place where challenging him is not the right way to go? That could very well be.
And all these incidents, took place on a practice session for the most part.
Right. Yeah. And they used, by the way, part of the investigation they used did deal with practice film. I mean, that was actually part of the investigation, was confiscating the practice tapes. So obviously there must be something, you know, where you look at it and say, oh, really? There it is. Now, as for the pressure on the training staff and the pressure on the players, that has to come from interviews. You're not going to have a tape of that.
Yeah, there's that didn't happen in view of a lot of people, you would think.
Now, for all we know, there was pressure on X player to get out there and play, and the position coach may have put him in here, put him in there, but was very conscientious about not doing too much. You know what I mean? I mean, that could very well have happened. That's how you end up not being implicated. And the players would tell you that. You know, I went to coach, you know, let's take Bill Cubitt. He's the quarterback and offensive coordinator. Well, none of the quarterbacks are implicated in this thing. But say, for example, it's Riley O'Toole. And, you know, they said, what about Coach Cubitt? I said, no, Coach Cubitt couldn't have treated me any better. You know, he made sure I got enough reps. He also made sure I sat out. He was very aware of my injury and, you know, couldn't have been treated better by him, blah, 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 blah. I mean, so that's how you're not implicated. See what I mean? So they could have handled it that way. But in terms of the ability to challenge the head coach over it, now are you putting your own job in the line? What's the culture set forward by the head coach? And, you know, how rational an individual is this that you're dealing with? I don't know. None of us know. I've never been on the Illinois practice field. You know, I've only heard him in press conferences. I've only seen him coach 3 games in person. You know, I know what they did here at Penn State. But that's pretty much the extent of it. But this is not, to the listeners of this show, we outlined in May what the initial problem was. We did an hour in July specifically on the long list of problems in this athletic department in Illinois. And it wasn't just with the football program. It was with the women's basketball program. It was also with a professor within the university as well that had nothing to do with athletics that caused a change at the top of the chancellor. I mean, right now, it's a rough time for them. They're a mess. And Mike Thomas has just finished his press conference. Bill Cubitt is now up there now, the head coach, the interim head coach. He's been in this spot before.
I have another question for you, Steve. When you look at, and this is opinion question only, so I want to get that out there right now. I'm asking your opinion. If you are the athletic director in this situation, and you've just hired somebody, and this is the result of that, do you really want to be the only one involved in the hiring of the next person? I found that strange, though.
I understand that. I completely get where you're going. But you know what? I am not very big on committees.
Yeah, but I think I'd want at least two more people besides me is what I'm. That's what I'm thinking. And I understand that what you were saying about the new chancellor and everything. They've got their own problems. I get that. But I think I maybe want another one or two people along with me. I don't think I want a whole quote unquote huge committee.
Well, first of all, you have headhunting firms now. So I go out and I get myself, take for example, who was the head coach at Vanderbilt? Oh, who the heck was it? When Penn State played in the NIT. He has his own headhunting firm now, and that's who they hired to, he'd been in North, Eddie Fogler. Eddie Fogler, after he left Vanderbilt, got in with his own consulting firm. And what they did was, when Ed DeCellis shocked everybody by taking the Navy job after Memorial Day, and coaches never, okay, you never have a coaching change in basketball after Memorial Day. It just doesn't happen. Well, suddenly, I remember that same year Gary Williams retired in like May 10th. And I remember being so shocked when he retired May 10th of that year. I sat back and said, nobody retires May 10th. Everybody decides in the last week of March, early April, what they're doing. And by April 15th, you know, the wheels are turning and so forth. It was May 10th. Like, nobody does that. Well, then 3 weeks later, Ed quit. And Ed took the Navy job. So they got a hold of Eddie Fogler. And they go out and they give you, they're the ones that go out and find you a list of candidates that you should sit down and talk to. You know, here are the people that are interested in the job. Here are the, you know, and you go through that list and you kind of, then yourself pick out, okay. And then you, along with the consulting firm, go through the process of contacting them and finding out what their true interest happens to be. And then you kind of whittle it down from there and you go through an interview process. Illinois would be wise to find a headhunting firm that's going to give them an idea between head coaches, mid-level coaches, and top-flight coordinators, along with Bill Cubitt, as to who might be interested, and get a list of 10 people. Whittle that down to 3 or 4. Pick a neutral location that is a hub. And for Illinois' case, that's easy. Pick Chicago and meet with them, you know, individually at O'Hare. And if you think that there's too much media around, fine, then pick someplace else. For example, let's go to Atlanta. All right? Mike Thomas goes up to Chicago, takes a flight down to Atlanta. You get everybody on Delta, Northwest, whatever it happens to be, fly them all down to Atlanta and do it away. Interview them away from everybody else where you have some peace and quiet and you can talk to them along with whomever your consultant happens to be. And then find somebody that you trust and bounce some ideas off of them. To me, that's the best way to hire it. Doing it by committee, it's like blah, 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 blah. Oh, come on.
Well, but that's a little bit more like a committee than at least being a one-man show. I understand what you're saying.
You're still the guy.
Right, you're still making the final decision.
There has to be a decision maker.
Sure.
There has to be a decision maker. You just can't sit there and by a 3-2 vote, Bob got the job. Way to go, Bob. I mean, leadership is not a committee. Leadership is the ability to sort things out and be a decision maker. That's leadership. Now, you bounce ideas off of other people. And it happens all the time in sports, right? James Franklin's the decision maker here. But, you know, at the same time, you know, he listens to what John Donovan says, what Bob Shoup says. If he likes what Bob's saying, oh, blah, 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 blah. Okay, Bob, just do that. It's great. I'm all for it. Go for it. John, like the game plan a lot. Go for it. It may be as simple as that sometimes. But in the end, you're the decision maker. There's something you don't know. We can't run that play. I don't want it in there. Right? One out of the 11 guys doesn't run it right. We can't use it. I've looked at the tape. You're like the extra eyes in that regard. Bob, you can't run that blitz. You can't. Because X player doesn't run it well enough. They don't scrape. They don't get to the spot. They're not quick. They're late. Whatever. You know, you see what I'm saying. You know, but you're still the decision maker. In this case, you've got to have a decision maker. You know, we have a 10-person committee. Well, that's a 10-person mess. To me.
If there's no more suggestions for the Illinois athletic director, here's one. Background investigation.
Yeah, I mean, you have to vet them. I mean, vetting them is now critical. I mean, vetting's across the board. All right, because you don't know who you're dealing with. You have to vet them. Let's take now an extreme case, but it's a prominent case in the news today. All right? How well did Subway vet Jared Fogle? Now look what kind of trouble they have. They have huge trouble with this. Huge. That's a current case. I mean, when you have something this important, you have to be able to vet individuals. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sunbury Motors Ford has absolutely zero to talk about. 0% for 72 months, that is. Choose from over 150 new Fords with 0% financing for 72 months. SMC is where you want to be if you want $3,000 off plus 0% financing for 72 months on a 2015 Ford Fusion. SMC is where you want to be if you want $3,100 off the totally redesigned 2015 Ford Edge, plus get 0% for 72 months. SMC is where real Ford truck buyers want to be. Take $5,000 off your next new 2015 F-150, plus get 0% for up to 72 months. This is the first time all year where you can get 0% for 72 months on the 2015 F-150. SMC is where you want to be to take advantage of the best deals of the year. Come celebrate 100 years of serving Central Pennsylvania at Sunbury Motors, where zero will be your hero.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Stock up for the weekend tonight. Do it. Follow me. Follow me. Reagan Street, Sunbury, Brewers Outlet.
Follow you.
Imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks, water, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, where Kevin had to turn in the Kia Sorento today. And the reports I received back was that you put on quite an emotional show.
I did find that you can, if you have the secondary key fob, unlock the doors from the outside. Unfortunately for me, I was locked on the inside thinking that I would be able to get away with it. It did not happen. The good news for you is that now you can grab that cherry-colored Kia Sorento that we talked about this week with a backup camera, the power windows, doors, cruise control, telescopic tilt steering, very comfortable seating, and a very smooth drive in an all, or very smooth ride, I should say, in an all-wheel drive vehicle. 0% financing for up to 66 months on most models, including the Sorento. 1.9 for 72 months, and with the Sorento, you get 750 Kia finance cash with that low APR. And find out how you can save tons of money on the 2015s and some 2016s as well, with the tags that are in the window that are well below the tags that are on the window called the sticker. That's at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They're trying to sell a total of 30 more vehicles here this week, and they still have until Monday to do it. So get there before 2 or 2:30 tomorrow or through the day Monday to take advantage of those great deals.
All right, Twitter, Ivan Maisel, a writer that I have immense respect for. Smart, perspective, good man. Tweeted this out. Want to know if the rights of student athletes are progressing? In the last 24 hours, two coaches shouted down for a suggestion of withholding cost of attendance funds as disciplinary measure. One coach fired for ignoring player safety. The rules have changed. Exactly. Tim Beckman fired today at Illinois. All right, let's get into a little bit of Steeler talk now. It's been another eventful week for the eventual Super Bowl champions. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, joins us. Tony, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Always good to be with you. How is everybody today?
Doing well. Let's get to the Steelers. We'll start there. Martavis Bryant out 4 games. He'll appeal. You and I both know he will not win the appeal. Between that, Bell out 2 games, which they already knew, and now Pouncey being hurt. What's the concern level right now with such key individuals not available for a period of time? Pouncey's going to be out 10 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Pouncey at least half of the season, like you mentioned. Bryant, in a very disappointing outcome with Martavis Bryant, because this was a guy, Steve, who had a good year last year, a very good second half of last year, and an even better training camp to this point. He really looked like he was going to be a breakout guy, and I guess that still could happen, but certainly it's not going to happen in September. And then Stephon Tuitt has an ankle injury that's going to keep him out for at least to the beginning of the season. I think if they get him back for the opener, they'll be very happy. So it's certainly conceivable that they could go into New England on opening night without Bell, without Bryant, without Pouncey. Those are all for sures. Obviously, their kicker, who's been so good for them, Sean Sweesum, is out for the season, and possibly without a starting defensive end as well. So it's not been a good week for the Steelers, and that was not a good day for any of the teams involved in Sunday's preseason game, right, because the Packers also lose Jordy Nelson for the season. So a pretty tough Sunday for a lot of members of that team. But, you know, everything else is what it is. Injuries happen. The Bryant thing, again, is just very disappointing. And quite frankly, Steve, it could end up affecting him more than the team. Can the team replace him? I don't know if they can replace that skill level, but somebody's going to get a shot. And if it's rookie Sammy Coates and he plays well, and he plays well, you know, for a second game and a third game and a fourth game, then all of a sudden the pecking order at receiver has changed. And that's not a small, you know, that could be a big impact on Martavis Bryant and his career, quite frankly, in Pittsburgh.
When Pouncey went out after the 8th play against Tennessee a couple of years ago, it affected the entire offensive line. Pouncey handles nose guards. Pouncey moves. He can run. This guy is, I mean, it's, you can safely say that he's among the best, if not the best center in the NFL. What are they going to do to replace him?
Well, you know, he's also one of the leaders on this team as well. Uh-huh. There's no question that he's become one of the young leaders of this team, kind of in cage has been turned, and guys like him and Cameron Hayward are now, you know, taking up the spots that people like Alan Faneca and Jeff Hardings and Aaron Smith and James Ferrier took. So, you know, they lose that leadership. Even though you're around, when you're not playing, it is a little bit different. They have a capable reserve, and I'm choosing those words carefully. Cody Wallace is probably a better, he's a better option than the Steelers had 2 years ago when Pouncey went down. But they can't replace Marquise Pouncey, like you just said, that you're incapable of replacing him. You put a guy in a uniform, you put him out there, and he snaps the ball to Ben Roethlisberger, and he plays between the other two guards, but he's not going to be Marquise Pouncey. And for a team that is going to rely heavily on their running game, and for a team that has some of those offensive weapons out that first game of the season, it's a big deal. You know, because Steve, even if everything goes very well, you know, you and I both know that it normally takes 2-3 weeks sometimes before, you know, a line gels, with a new member. So, you know, again, even if things work out perfectly, if the Steelers can go 2-2 their first 4 games, I think there'll be some coaches who are satisfied.
Right. You mentioned Sammy Coates. Anybody else that would be in that category of, okay, let's see the next couple of games to see if they can fill Bryant's shoes temporarily?
You know, it's kind of hard to say that there is, to be honest with you. I mean, you have guys like Darius Heyward-Bey, and you hope that he can come in and give you, you know, a competitive effort for a couple of weeks. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's not going to be able to fill those kind of shoes. I think the book on him has pretty much been read as far as his NFL career goes. So I think, you know, a guy like Coach is going to be, you know, have a great opportunity to step up. Obviously, they're certainly going to lean maybe a little bit heavier on Antonio Brown and Marcus Wheaton. But I think maybe you look to the tight ends as well. They've got some tight ends that can catch passes. Jesse James got off to a pretty bad start in the first preseason game. He's improved as the training camp has gone along and as the preseason has gone along. He's not that he's going to knock Heath Miller out of the starting lineup, or quite frankly, not that he's going to bump the number two tight end out of the way at this point, but it might open up some situations where he sees the field a little bit more because of his, you know, receiving ability. And again, you know, Keith Miller seems to be a guy who is someone who Ben Roethlisberger has depended on for a long time, and he certainly won't hesitate to, you know, maybe look to Heath a little bit more, but it certainly does change the dynamic of that offense. They're not going to be able to spread the field as well. The only guy who can really do that is Coates, but you've got to be able to catch the ball in order to, you know, in order to get that respect. So he'll get a chance. It'll be interesting to see what he does with it.
How well has D'Angelo Williams done?
I'm sorry?
How well has D'Angelo Williams done?
He's done fairly well. I think they're happy with him. I think they've been very protective of D'Angelo Williams. You know, that's a hard thing to do, because it only takes one play to knock you out. But this is a guy who certainly, you know, the negative to him has been the same thing throughout his career. He's good when he's on the field, and he's not on the field enough. But I think they are happy with what he can do. I think they really like what he can do, in the passing game. I think you're going to see, Todd Haley try to take advantage of that a little bit more than they did, in Carolina, at least the last couple of years. I think that's probably the facet of his game that they like the most right now is what he's capable of doing in the passing game. And they honestly have said that they don't think they're going to have to change much. You know, Le'Veon Bell was so good catching the ball out of the backfield. I don't think Williams is as good, but Haley talks about the fact that they don't think they have to change much, and they can run a lot of the same plays that they ran for Bell with Williams in his place.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the Michael Vick signing. It's one thing as to how the fans have reacted to it. How they reacted, though, within that locker room, because he is a guy that has certainly experience on the field.
Yeah, I think that there's almost been I don't think there are any issues in the locker room. I think all the issues you're seeing are the ones that are, that are, you know, in the newspapers and on television. I mean, quite frankly, on the field, they've upgraded their backup quarterback situation. You know, when you're looking for a backup quarterback and it's late August, you don't typically sign your Johnny Unitas's and your Sammy Baugh's at that point. Those guys are already on teams. So if you can get Michael Vick, yeah, he's 35, but they have upgraded. And yeah, I don't think it's an issue in the locker room whatsoever. Michael Vick has really said all the right things since he's come back. And I think that, you know, the players look at it fairly simply. The guy can play football, and boy, talk about paying your, when you serve 21 months in prison, you know, you've paid that penance, and he certainly talked about it and so forth. So I think you is with the fans, and I think it's even more so, Steve, with the casual fans, and not the hardcore fans. But then again, all it takes is a tweaked ankle by Ben Roethlisberger and one fumble by Michael Vick, and we're certainly going to, you know, we're certainly going to get a pretty good indication of how the fans do feel.
Well, you know what? He had, to his credit, in the 6 years he's been out, he hasn't stumbled. It's been actually been quite the opposite. Just stating a fact here as to what he's done. In the league today, give me the importance of having a backup. And Bruce Gradkowski, by the way, filled this bill until he got hurt very well. To have somebody at least understands game speed if they have to come off the bench.
Well, I think you just said it right there, and I think you said that well the last couple of times we've talked, that having a quarterback who understands the game speed, who understands what's going on, who can understand, you know, the basic ideas of an NFL offense without having to stop on the field and think at all. And when you're in the league as long as Michael Vick has, that stuff comes naturally to you. I think it's huge. Obviously, the drop off from your starting quarterback to the backup quarterback is probably as big a drop off as you see in the NFL. But when you can have a Michael Vick step in, especially if you're looking at an injury where a guy has to play a half or a couple of games, Michael Vick is more than capable of playing a couple of games. And with the talent that this offense has, assuming they get these guys back and assuming an injury doesn't happen until October, there's no reason Michael Vick couldn't play four games and go 3-1 or something like that. He's certainly capable of that. And I think the team, the players around him feel that way as well, which I think is huge as far as the backup goes.
And I know this will be the one where the starters play a chunk of time. For most teams, it's the third preseason game, Steelers fourth. How much time is Vic expected to get in all of this?
I haven't heard that yet. I haven't heard Todd Haley comment on that. I would have to think he's going to get at least a half. I mean, to me, there's no reason he shouldn't get the bulk of the playing time the rest of the way at this point. Obviously, you want Ben Roethlisberger. He's looked very, very sharp.
Yeah.
You know, you want him out there a little bit. But, yeah, I think Vic should probably the next two games get the bulk of the time. Maybe Haley will address that today. He hasn't yet.
Yeah. Okay. The good ship Bucko rolls on here. They got Colorado coming in. Is this as finely tuned a group as you've seen in years?
Yeah, I mean, their record right now is better than it has been the past two seasons. I think they're doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors with the starting rotation. I mean, beyond Liriano and Cole, you know, you never know what you're going to get from Locke. Yeah. 2 nights ago, it was excellent. A week ago, it was terrible. Charlie Morton will give you the same thing. 3 nights ago, it was terrible. A week before that, he was dominant. They have to find some sort of consistency there. You know, Jay Happ has pitched 4 games for Pittsburgh, Steve, and 3 of them have been lights out. He's allowed 1 earned run his last 3 starts. They have to understand that's not going to continue. Not against Happ, he's been great, but I can't imagine that's going to continue. To me, that's the biggest issue right now is, are they going to get A.J. Burnett back? Can they get some consistency? At this point, you know, you almost have to just cross your fingers and hope that you get consistency from Locke or Morton, because it just hasn't been there all season. So I think that's their biggest issue. I love the bench right now, and I think Clint Hurdle's doing a very good job of juggling that bench. When you've got, you know, a veteran such as Jordy Mercer one night, or perhaps Josh Harrison one night, or Aramis Ramirez one night, or Pedro Alvarez the other night, are guys that can, you know, can come off the bench and pitch hit in different situations and play defense in different situations. I just think this bench is as deep as it's ever been, at least under Clint Hurdle.
Yet I will ask this question. After Lester and Lackey, and after Bumgarner, in the last 3 world champions, name the other guys that started and how consistent they were on world championship teams. So, I mean, that's, I think that's, you know, back end of the Pirates starting rotation is not unusual for really good teams. That's my point.
That's, you know, and that is a good point. You know, I mean, I think when you look at a fifth starter for most teams, you know, you're seeing similar numbers from team to team to team, even among the playoff teams. I think that's a very good point. And I think that's why, to me, it was interesting that Neil Huntington, yes, they brought in Jay Happ, but that obviously wasn't going to be a huge impact on the rotation. So he decided to improve the bullpen. And so far, so good. Joe Blanton's been outstanding.
Yes.
Joaquin Soria has been very good as well. So, you know, I think he helped the starters by providing them with a better bullpen.
Always a pleasure, Tony. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thank you, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin's complete analysis of the interview in its entirety on the after show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
All right, news and notes for you, and then previewing it next week. Number one, Tim Beckman fired today at Illinois because an external investigation showed that, he was essentially, when it came to injuries, trying to twist arms to get people out there and not treating players right, trying to push them when they were hurt. I mean, that's what the basic allegations are, and they're evidently, according to this external investigation, found to be true. He's the only coach fired. The rest of the staff is still there, said to not be implicated. Bill Cubitt, the interim head coach, will be the coach for the entire season, former head coach at Western Michigan. Penn State plays Illinois in Beaver Stadium on Halloween, Saturday, October 31st. They will play here. So that mess there continues. Penn State, an announcement for its 2019 schedule. They'll open the season August 31st, 2019 with Idaho. Pitt will be the next game, also at Beaver Stadium. Third game will be another Beaver Stadium game as well, but they haven't announced it yet. I've heard some people say, oh, Idaho. Look, understand how to schedule. Okay? You got to understand how to do it in this modern world. You don't go out and schedule Alabama, USC, and Texas as your first 3 games and then play the Big Ten. You can't. You can't. Nobody does that. It's illogical. And I know you're trying to get people to buy tickets, but the critical game to schedule in the non-conference is the second game of the season. That's the critical one. That's your home and away window when you have 9 conference games. you're already guaranteed playing Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Maryland every year, which is one-third of your schedule. One-third. Okay? Add in Rutgers if you want to put Rutgers in that important category and you get some feeling about Rutgers. Well, that's five out of your 12 games now. We're almost to half the schedule and haven't even brought in the possibility that you could be playing Minnesota, Wisconsin, or Nebraska as the other side. Hasn't even been brought into play yet. Minnesota's on the schedule next year. How many of those games do you want? Well, I do want that second non-conference game to be a really good game. You need a test. You got to find out what's under the hood. Well, they already have in place, that was put in place before anybody that James Franklin got here, four games with Pitt. That's your second game. So now you got to build around that game, and you need seven home games, because if you love your wrestling, you love your women's volleyball and other sports like that, you got to pay for it. Well, Idaho will be the opener, then Pitt, second game of the year. Then it'll be another game you have to buy with a guarantee. You know, nobody goes out and takes the first three games of the year, and it's USC, Texas, and Notre Dame. It'd be nice, it would be fun, but it's not logical from a business perspective. Now, getting people into the stadium, totally understand that, but Pitt is a home game that year in 19. And so in 19, Pitt, Ohio State, and Michigan State are your three guaranteed home games that year out of seven. And Maryland, that's four. Four of your seven games are those games. And I'm not sure, I don't have it in front of me, who the crossover game is that year. I think it might be Nebraska coming in. That's your home schedule. So I don't care if they play Idaho. That's fine.
Idaho's nickname is
the Vandals. Gone.
What's the nickname of Idaho's, of the state of Idaho?
Well, it's the home of the famous Potato Bowl.
That's also true. They are known as the Gem State.
The state, especially in the northern part of the state, is loaded with a lot of mines. They've had an extensive mining community in Idaho for many years. Gold, silver. It's also been very dangerous in that northern area for years because of the extent they've gone to mine some of the precious gems of that state. I drive you crazy, but I watch Aerial America and Smithsonian.